Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans, meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 11th of April. Welcome to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's panel show of current affairs show with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day on this Tuesday, the 11th of April. With you until 12 o'clock today. Going to be joined in the studio by Alf Brewer and Lindsay Russell, a first-time appearance, we hope. So looking forward to welcoming Lindsay into the studio a little bit later on. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
But first of all, let's have a look at the front pages of this morning, see what's making the headlines in the UK. 19 terror suspects among Channel arrivals is the Daily Mail's front page headline. Security sources have told the paper that foreign nationals with links to group, including Islamic State, reached the UK illegally on small boats from northern France last year. The Mail says most of the group have since lodged asylum claims here and cannot be deported due in part to human rights laws. The Home Office says it would not comment on individual cases or operational matters, but the action would be taken if someone of national security interest entered the UK as an illegal immigrant. The Daily Telegraph reports that UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is planning to hold the next general election in the autumn of next year, with October and November 2024 provisionally circled. It says Downing Street believes that going to the polls would then give Mr. Sunak the best chance of victory. Meanwhile, there's widespread coverage of the four-day strike by junior doctors across England. Don't get ill is the stark warning from the Daily Express, which quotes Dr. Peter Carter, the former head of the Royal College of Nursing Union, saying, "The reality is, this is going to hurt." The Times warns that the 96-hour walkout over pay will cause a month of disruption. The paper says NHS services will struggle to recover and cancer care is expected to be one of the critical areas facing delays. The Eye reports that thousands more patients than expected will not be treated because of the strike. It points out the government and the doctors' union, the British Medical Association, both claim they are willing to restart pay talks, but both are demanding concessions first. Meanwhile, the Daily Mirror reports on what it calls the shocking truth about junior doctors' wages. It says that according to a new campaign by the BMA, they're being paid as little as £14 an hour to carry out vital operations. Surely this is not fair, asked the Mirror, adding that the Tories still refuse to start pay discussions. The Department of Health says the campaign is misleading and does not take into account the additional earning capacity and pay progression available to junior doctors. The Guardian says Tory neglect has been blamed for 3.6 million abandoned calls to NHS 111 in England in the past 12 months. It says the helpline is supposed to make it quicker and easier for patients to get the right advice or treatment they need. But the paper says data produced for the Liberal Democrats suggests that callers are waiting so long to speak to someone, nearly one in five give up. Government says it's increasing the number of NHS 111 calls to call handlers to 4,800. Finally, the Daily Star reports that astronauts will one day be able to make their own drugs and medicines in space. It says the astropharmacy labs will be critical to the success of future missions, especially long trips. Dope me up, Scotty, is the paper's main headline. Those headlines, again, and see exactly what the front pages are saying. Top of my paper pile this morning is The Eye. Thousands more patients than expected won't be treated due to doctor's strike. That's The Eye. Daily Express, don't get ill. Doctor's strike is going to hurt. Meanwhile, The Times, NHS will cause month of disruption. This NHS strike will cause a month of disruption, excuse me. Meanwhile, Daily Mirror, we save lives for £14 an hour. Truth of junior medics' poor pay revealed as Tories refuse to start talks. Meanwhile, the Daily Telegraph, Biden will push to unite all stalwart parties. US President wants to encourage all leaders to break power-sharing deadlock. Lots of pictures of President Biden with the Easter Bunny on a balcony in the White House, by the way. And as well as that, the FT, looking at Ireland's trip, Biden trusts in lasting peace. The Daily Mail, 19 terror suspects amongst channel arrivals. The Sun, Queen, send Wills and Harry to war. Morlock wanted both to fight. And finally, the Daily Star, dope me up, Scotty. Meds will save thousands. Meds will save lives of astronauts on years-long trips to the stars. And those are your headlines this Tuesday, the 11th of April.
The weather forecast is brought to you by Liberty Seguros. Liberty Seguros gives you now €50 cash back for every new car, home or life insurance policy you take out. But hurry, this offer is valid until the 27th of June only.
The weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Look at the weather. I'm just rambling here today. Look at your weather. 20 degrees in Malaga and sunny, a high of 23. Your winds are from the southeast and they are moderate. Granada, 16 degrees and sunny. High of 29 today. And your winds are westerlies and moderate. Almeria, 20 degrees and sunny. High of 23, winds from the south, which are moderate. Murcia, 17 degrees. Lengthy sunny spells are forecast. High of 28, winds from the east, which are moderate. That's Murcia, Alicante, 18 degrees and sunny. A high of 22. Southeasterly moderates today as well. Denia, 16 degrees. Sunny spells forecast for Denia with a high of 20. Your winds are variable. They are light to moderate easterlies. Over on the islands, good morning, Ibiza at 16 degrees. Mainly sunny today with a high of 21. Your winds from the south, which are moderate. Mallorca, currently in Palma, it's 13 degrees. The high forecast is 20. A sunny day in prospect with winds from the southwest, which are moderate. And finally, Gibraltar, 19 degrees on the rock. High of 24 forecast. It is sunny and the winds are moderate westerlies. That's your weather.
Weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer, who is in a different position today. He's obviously...
I was allowing room for the person who's not here yet.
Yes, indeed. My invisible rather friend. I do have my invisible friends on a Tuesday.
Well, rather than tripping over the step and then pushing past me.
Yeah,
and
people you don't know falling over. Yeah, it's not good, is it?
No, especially as you've now told me she's a woman.
She is. Well, she,
I was expecting.
Get your pronouns right.
A hairy person, East Londoner.
Well, there you go.
But they're not.
Well, you see.
She might be from East London, but she's
from East London. I was going to say that for a minute. Let's move swiftly onwards. How are you, Alf? Are you good to see you this morning? Good.
Well, these stories that, you know, I often knock the press because I was getting, and they got, dope me up, Scotty,
yeah? Yeah, that's not bad, is it?
What happened about Major Tom? I thought he was the first one up there.
Oh, yeah, but he's out there floating in a tin can far above the world.
Well, yeah, but he still had it with him, didn't he?
Anyway, been an interesting news week thus far. Interesting to see as well the variety, and we've got a fair amount this morning on a sort of mixed bag this morning. But junior doctor strike. Let's have a look at this because we you know, those of us who were around in 79 will remember the winter of discontent. So you know, the Conservatives are hinting at calling an election for 2024 in the autumn, which basically gives them, shall we say, 6 to 16 months to sort out these strikes, because it seems that they're, you know, we are having strike upon strike upon strike with cost of living crisis, etc. Alf?
Well, I don't think they do want to give in on the strikes. I think they will go right through to the general election. They've dug their heels in. They're not going to move. They will try to put some of, like the nurses, like the ambulance drivers, they've put it off a little bit, but they've only put it off until election year. So I think they're playing a very strange short game. So they've, you know, stop all the industrial strife now, but bring it back next year. We'll be more ready for them then, because we can then take them on. And remember, this is what Thatcher did. We're going to take the unions on, and it becomes an election issue. And the one thing you can almost say with certainty is if the Tories take the unions on, then the unions lose. It's what happened throughout history, because people don't quite understand. The Transport and General Workers Union at the time of Thatcher were the biggest union, I think they were. I ended up working for what was the outcome of that, which was Unite the Union, which was the biggest. It's now Unison. But they're so small compared to the rest of the workforce. Trade unionism today is not what it was even when I was there. And believe you me, we were struggling then. So to try and mount a campaign. So I think if you take the junior doctors, for an example, there's an old trait.
Right.
Nobody will give you anything without a demand. So if you don't put a demand in, nobody will give you anything, whatever the demand is. So that's how negotiations start. We're putting in a demand. You sit down and talk to us about our demand.
Yeah.
And effectively, what the Tories are saying is 35% is too high, it's unrealistic, it's this, that and the other. Because they can't win the argument that junior doctors, and we'll stick with the real junior doctors, the ones who are working 12-hour days, you know, long hours, 14 or 15-hour days, 6-7 days a week, or in some cases they're working what they call through shifts, where they're working 18 hours, and they'll do that for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a stretch. I remember covering the phlebotomists, they're the people who do the blood tests.
Okay.
And they used to have to sleep in, because if there was an accident in the middle of the night, they couldn't wake somebody up in bed at home and bring them in to do a blood test. So they had to sleep in the hospitals. And that was a big issue. Oh, these people are paid a fortune. So, yeah, because they've got to sleep in the hospital. Most of them never slept overnight.
Just getting some breaking news. The Confederation of the British Industry boss has been fired amidst investigations into claims of sexual misconduct in the organisation.
Not for him, into the organisation. And he'll get the blame because he's in charge. Quite right. You know, none of these organisations are exempt for this, are they? It's just that these days, because of social media and because there's so much more awareness of things, it's going to come out pretty quickly, and there's nothing they can do to stop. This is a 2-week-old story, isn't it? It's not new.
Yeah, but I mean, it was going to take that long to go through the ramifications and do a preliminary investigation. CBI boss Tony Danker has been fired amidst complaints.
Yeah, well, and the CBI are going to go, that's too long. You know, we're not the National Health Service. We're not whoever government department. We're the CBI. They get government funding, remember. It's not like the trade unions. CBI are sponsored and run by the government. Well, funded by the government, because that's the nature of the beast.
We are.
And the CBI are going to say, we've got to be whiter than white, cleaner than clear. This is a bit like the BBC. If there's an accusation in the BBC, it's dealt with in a fortnight, not in 2 months, 3 months. Not like the Labour Party, where you have 2.5 years of investigations and then say, Corbyn, you can't be a candidate in the next general election. It's got to be done quick, clean, done.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Got some bits and pieces coming in on the WhatsApp, +34645-9967-95. This is a full fact check. The average junior doctor gets paid more than £14 an hour. The verdict from them is the average junior doctor makes much more than this, depending on whether you include extra earnings and time off for holidays. It's probably between £20 and £30 an hour. Meanwhile, staff at Pret-a-Manger are being paid £14.10 an hour. This is correct from April 23. Staff at Pret-a-Manger shops will earn between £10.30 and £14.10 an hour. That is what full fact are saying in terms of what junior doctors are being paid. It's still not an awful lot of money, especially if you're working at the Chelsea in Westminster, or if you're working at, you know, Mary's or Bart's or somewhere like that.
Yeah, but what they're saying as well, this is the normal trade, isn't it? It used to be for guards on a train, well, you earn this much money. And then when you broke it down, in their normal basic salary, if they were off sick or on holiday or whatever, their normal basic salary was X. But because they do all the overtime and all the extra stuff that goes with it and get allowances, and so they get more money, and all of a sudden that becomes their pay. And it's called, they're only getting that pay because they're putting in the extra duty and the extra time. I don't believe that a junior doctor, you know, a simple, basic, bog-standard junior doctor...
Is there a simple, basic, bog-standard junior doctor?
Well, that's somebody who comes out of university, out of medical school.
Yeah.
It's their first year into the health service, and that's where they have to come. So they can't go into private practice, I don't think. They have to go through the health service. They have to serve their time, as they say. It's like doing an apprenticeship. So you finish your academic studies, you go in to do your physical stuff, and it will take you between 3 and 8 years, depending on where you're going to end up, you know, what you're going to end up doing. If you're ending up being a surgeon, then you're probably going to do the 8 years. If you're going to end up being a GP in a hospital, you're probably only doing 3 or 4 years. And it's at that point, at the 4 years in, where they're saying... And this is the complication. I don't know how much. It's not about the average earnings of a junior doctor. It's about how much do they earn having done 6 or 7 years of academic qualifications and another 3 or 4 years of training. So they're 11 years into their career as such. How much do they earn then? If the pay was that good, this is always the question to the government. If the pay was that good, why is it at that point, not when they've done 8 years, not when they're surgeons, not when they're specialists, not when they're consultants, none of that, when is it, why is it that 40-odd% of those people leave and go to different climes in order to earn more money? So lots of them go to Australia. I would imagine Canada's quite a big draw for them. Certainly America. None of them come to Europe because the Europeans all look at the health service, National Health Service, and say, you know, that was our natural home until Brexit, until, you know, the mess up that Brexit has called. So I think you have to, you know, this is back to supply and demand. We've got massive problems in the National Health Service, or there are, with all the backlog of all the cases that got to be dealt with. All right, there's an excuse. But they keep using the same excuse, which is the wrong excuse. There was already problems before COVID, and they weren't doing it. You know, I go back, as you always know, Charles, I put my thing, that's the Tory manifesto. We're going to have more nurses, we're going to have more doctors, we're going to have better health service, and they haven't delivered on it. And if they haven't delivered on it from all that time ago, then What chance have they got now? None or less than none.
To the WhatsApps we go. Richard, good morning to you. Wrong, Alf. Junior doctors can have 5 years' experience. It's anything ranging from just out of uni to registrar prior to reaching consultant. But regardless, if they don't like what they earn, then leave. They needn't worry about how the NHS will cope.
But they are. But
they have been NHS.
They are. That's why everybody in Britain's complaining.
70s. If the JDs were smart, junior doctors, they'd quit en masse and go to Canada or Australia or New Zealand.
That's funny. I think I just said that, didn't
Indeed.
I? That's why they're going. And they go after, and it's not about 5 years. It doesn't matter when it is. They're leaving at the point where they're looking at. It's a bit like going into industry and you expect to be promoted and all of a sudden the promotion's taken away. It happened in British Telecom in the 90s when they cut back on things and people who were destined to be technical officers, which is a pretty basic grade, or was a pretty basic grade in the telecom industry, and they couldn't achieve it. And you go, well, why don't they just leave and find another job? Well, they did. They did leave and find other jobs. They left. When BT came up with our great job security agreement, which gave them the biggest redundancy payments that anywhere in industry in Britain were getting, they left in their thousands. Thousands left. 100,000 people left BT in 3 years because they were fed up with what was going on in their industry. It didn't matter then because technology was coming along and the technology was picking up the slack. You can't do that in an hospital.
Yeah. Looking at some of the bits and pieces coming, NHS have said the strikes this week have not been caused by junior doctors. Oh, for goodness sake. That's my... excuse me a second. I have to give myself a fine for that. Live on the line on TRE. Good morning. I'll have to call you later. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio. Just going to have to flagellate myself for a second. After all, it is Easter.
If you want not in public.
Not in public. Please, hang on a second.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yeah, good morning to John Clark, editor of You See, the news never ceases. And John Clark, the other press, saying, yeah, why aren't you? Where's your story? Anyway, as I was saying, the strikes this week have not been caused by junior doctors. They've been caused by a government that's been taking healthcare professionals for far too long. All they want is fair pay.
Well, all they want is fair treatment. I'm not even saying it. Like I said at the beginning, nothing is given without a demand. So they've put a demand in. The Tories won't talk to them, whichever. They can put whatever minister they want in there. You know, the best of them, you know, Grant Shapps, the guy that's in there now, any of them, and they're going to sit there and say, we can't give you anywhere near what you want. No, but will you talk to us about giving us a fair crack of the whip, i.e., in British industry, even under Thatcher, you would end up with industry and the unions negotiating deals that went over 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I remember, I can't remember which industry it was. Was it the car industry? One of them.
Yeah.
And what they agreed, no, it must have been public sector. They agreed that they would get inflation plus 1% for 3 years. And it was the CPSA, I think, that was negotiating that. So it would have been public sector, civil servants. And that pacified people. It wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't anywhere near what they wanted for catch-up pay. But now go and talk to teachers, people who work in all parts of education. Yeah. We haven't had a pay rise for years. And then talk to the others in the civil service. Not only have they not had a pay rise, they've had pay cuts. And their I'll call it an industry, but their job and their work has been changed out of all proportion to when they went in there.
So. And this come from, like, as we are looking at, if you like, the perfect storm. We've come out of a pandemic. We keep getting warnings that we're going to go back into recession. The cost of living in the UK and across Europe has gone high, although at least we got fresh veg and tomatoes. And
the NHS looks like it's being prepared for, and has been for a while now, for some sort of shake-up, quote-unquote. And so, you know, therefore, junior doctors will... somebody said, well, they can go off... Well, they can all go off and work at Pret a Manger, which is great. But if you do come back as an appendicitis, then having fries with that isn't going to help you, is it?
Yeah, but it's not realistic. And also, I'm not sure if Pret a Manger go out and recruit people just out of university, unless it's for a part-time job. You know, they're not looking for that type of person to work long. They're looking for people who want to come into their industry and maybe are looking for a career inside Pret a Manger. They're not looking for somebody who serves coffee for a living. You know, that's not how industry works. And there's always got to be an end product. Oh, by the way, this is also another media knock. They just recently announced that inflation in Spain was only 3.3%. And everybody goes, wow, it's come down from a lot. It's a lot way down from 10%. And you go, no, ain't, because food and proper stuff, 7.2%.
And we got a couple of calls online. Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's Sharon.
Morning, Dallas. Sharon.
Morning, Alf.
Hi.
Couple of points. There's the doctor, two or three have been ringing in. I know TRE is self-confident enough for me to talk about other radio stations.
Absolutely.
about saying that they are getting adverts, they're being bombarded. This is one doctor in his third year, and there are several examples of this. Being bombarded, not bear in mind, only in his third year, with adverts, as Alf just said, from Australia. They're not even qualified, and they're being bombarded with adverts to go to Australia and all the other countries that are probably going to treat them better. And also, not to forget, that they leave their training with £100,000 debt. Remember that. That's a lot of money. If they pay for their training, at least it would get them somewhere. And several times during the COVID thing, the nurses were saying, outside COVID, in addition to COVID, when things are so-called normal, which they never are in the health service run by this government, all they really want is that they've been pushed and pushed and pushed. They want more time to have a proper break, to be able to get a coffee when they want to. These guys and the nurses, as the nursing staff, been working for 14-hour shifts without a proper break. They're burned out. And this government doesn't appear to be wanting to rectify this. I just wonder where this government are thinking of going. I really don't understand what their aims and objectives are. I don't think they've got any, because it's a public service. It doesn't matter, does it? So the £100,000 debt, and they've been bombarded with places in lovely countries like New Zealand and Australia. They're leaving in droves. So for those people who message in to say if they don't like it, they can leave, they are leaving. They're leaving in droves. We won't have any decent doctors left. We'll have maybe some we can partly get from other countries that aren't very well qualified or whatever. Quality matters in the medical profession. And we're going to end up with a lot of people who aren't up to the job. Or none at all.
Thank you, Sharon, for that call in. And yes, you're allowed to mention other. You can listen to other radio stations. We don't demand a monopoly on your listening.
You.
Take care, Sharon. Good to hear from you as well. Going to take a short break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952-78-4000. Always live. Always lively. It's to the lines we go. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Gosplank.
Morning, Kate.
I'm surprised that neither Sharon, Alf mentioned this load of Tories. I mean, I'm talking about the 2010 onwards.
2010 vintage we're talking about, are we, Kate?
Yeah. Yes, their intention is privatising the National Health Service. When I first heard this, I thought, oh, come on, this is just vulgar abuse. No one would be stupid enough to do that. Now, that is exactly what's happening. The idea is running it down, which they're doing. It's not just it's not careless stupidity. It's conscious stupidity. And this is why the health service should be supported at all possible points. And that means voting.
Right. And when you say, and that means voting, that means what, when we come to the election, you should be voting for the...
Yeah, but, because we've now got Votes for Life. And thanks to Sunak's latest pronouncement, which you gave, they're trying to delay the election, next general election, to as long as possible, to have the least bad chance of winning. And that's, I think, the autumn of 2024.
Well, unless Sunak's pulled out a crystal ball, because, I mean, if you say least bad, I mean, at the moment, we're looking at 4 days of junior doctor strikes, Kate, and who knows what we could be looking at this time next year.
Yeah. But anyway, what I'm saying is there's something people here listening can do. Now they've got the right to vote. And I want, it would be lovely if Mayor, sometime on a Friday, deals with the procedure for doing that.
I will get Myra on that, no problem at all. Kate, thanks for your calling. Got another caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, Giles. David from Bedlam, Madam.
Morning, David.
Good morning, good morning. This subject of the NHS is so tiresome, isn't it, really? It's gone on for years. I'm a medical professional. I left the NHS in 1975 and worked here in Spain ever since until I retired many years ago. So I've got a view, clear view of both sides of it. Not that I intend to make this conversation a comparison between Spain's NHS and the UK's NHS, but in reality, it's somewhat inevitable because most of your listeners will have been patients probably both here and there. And certainly, as a patient here, the first thing you'll have noticed is the enormous lack of paperwork piled up on desks and in nursing stations, which, unfortunately, the UK still suffers from. This is due to a standard of inefficiency and not moving with the times. Excuse me. And so you've got a very academic level of medicine in England, who are absolutely brilliant. But, you know, you can't have a war, if you like, just with captains and no soldiers. And the problem is that the soldiers are overworked, as a previous caller said. 14-hour days are they're very, very common indeed, and still are, and certainly were in my time. And so the problem is inefficiency. You've also got, the fact that many doctors and other nurses do leave. You've got a ludicrous situation in England that's gone on for about 20 years now, whereby the nurses in UK, trained in the NHS nurses, go and work in Europe at higher pay. And the same company that encourages nurses to go abroad into Europe at higher pay bring foreign nurses, European nurses, into the NHS in England and pay them higher than the national nurses. Now, if you can get your head around that, I mean, something wrong with that story, but it's absolute fact, and that's what happens. If you go to doctors, which seem to mostly in the news at this time of the moment, with your junior doctors, well, those junior doctors certainly are enticed to go and work in Australia. I have a number of friends who are in Australia and New Zealand, and they're absolutely loving it. The thing they say is absolutely right. They work less hours, they're more organized, health is more efficient, and of course they get better pay. So why would they not leave? There's also a problem that when these people leave, trained doctors leave the UK, their places need to be filled by somebody else. And they're often people from, I don't know, immigrants, but certainly not English or British, and they come and work in there. So you've got, to begin with, a different standard of training, and you've also got a level of communication problem, which often is quite serious. And it, whatever it is, it slows down the system. So there's something broken about Britain, but it's certainly broken at the National Health Service. And frankly, I don't know how to put it right. I really don't. But it certainly needs revising, and money will help. But certainly if they've got something in there or some people in there to increase the standard of management and make the National Health Service more efficient, then there wouldn't be the waiting list. Everything would be better and everyone would be happier. And of course, there'd be more money to go around to spend money on salaries, which the health professionals, both doctors, surgeons and nurses, wrong way around actually, deserve. That's my view on it.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Good to have you with us as always. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in. Mike Lilamanga, good morning to you. After the doctor's strike, let's look at the figures if more people have died or survived. I gave up going to the GPs a long time ago as the difficulty of getting appointments in the UK, 3 weeks for a telephone consultation. If any private business operated like this, they would be out of work. Meanwhile, Ray in Mehas, good morning to you. Doctors and nurses have been consistently underpaid going back many years. The government appears to be running the NHS down to a point where it will be unsustainable, allowing private health cover to move into the UK in the same way as the USA. Big business, big pharma, etc. cause this via the Tory government. Also looking at, right, morning to you, Richard. So what we have is... there have been problems, NHS problems for decades, ever since the 70s. They're complaining, not leaving, otherwise no one would be on strike. If a £20 to £30 an hour is not fair, then they can, off to Brett then, thank you. Everyone has had a pay cut with the current inflation rate. However, if everyone asks for a pay rise, then nothing gets resolved and inflation would rise further. They don't look particularly burned out on the picket line. These are the junior doctors, which is what this is. And this is quality has never meant mattered to the NHS, is replying to Sharon. It hasn't done for decades. This is why the NHS is often bottom of health outcomes when compared to other nations. No one would be stupid enough to do that from the country that privatized their water supply. Meanwhile, UK elections. Good morning to you, Stephen. The UK elections, October-November 2024. The latest it could be is 2025. If you want to get involved with today's show, this is the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Back to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? It was all going so well. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. No, we've lost that one. I'll try the other one. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, let's hope. Let's hope that we're all up and running on there. Alf,
I'm live. Yeah, so, Kate got in before me, so well done, Kate. It's called "What's the Plan from the Tories? Further privatisation of the NHS." That's always going to be their plan. That's been their plan way back in Thatcher's time. You know, what we've seen in the UK is little bits of the NHS being privatised. It's significant that people don't understand is when they made it that everybody had to pay for car parking in the hospitals. Nobody understands it. That wasn't just people going to visit patients. That was the staff as well. Mm. The staff had to pay, and they had special car parks for staff, and they still had to pay, and they give them concessions for, you know, car share and rubbish like that. But the money was supposed to go back into the hospital in order to assist the NHS running it, and it went into painting and building work and, you know, repairs and stuff like that, which the government should have been paying for anyway. And what you see is this direct, it's not a dichotomy, it's the opposite of dichotomy. It's
right. Me.
So if you go back to the 70s, the rise of Bupa actually, you know, correlated with the Tories' attack on the health service. They didn't do anything to the health service. They just kept putting out all these bad stories about long waiting lists and you would have to wait for ages. So then lots and lots, especially the banking industry, then provided their staff with Bupa care. And you know, Bupa is enormous today, and it will carry on. It's called private medicine. But the next stage is to go to, you know, the worst of all, the American system, where everybody is covered by insurance. But that means that individuals are then not covered by that social attitude of free at the point of entry. It means if you can't afford insurance, you don't get medical care, you know, or you go into the poor homes. If you go to any reasonable size town in the UK, you will find a building. It'll either be a school or a medical place or a joint one, and it will have a plaque on the side, and it will say this was donated by whatever they were, farmers, landowners. You know, we relied on the rich providing services for people who had no money. We got away from that because then you have to go cap in hand.
Well, you get to, that's the Victorian idea of philanthropy, isn't it? That's where we get to sort of Bernardo's, isn't it? All that whole sort of thing. It's the whole Victorian philanthropy.
Absolutely.
Idea.
And that's where they want to, and that's where they're attempting, if you look, a lot of these right-wing Tories, it's called, if you can't stand on your own two feet, hard luck. And that's not how society has been viewed, certainly in the UK, for the last, what, 100 years now? It's, you know, before the First World War, so that's 100 and odd years. And we changed the whole attitude, especially when, the, you know, they're coming back from a war in the trenches with missing limbs and whatever, and you're going to come back to no jobs. The same in the Second World War. People didn't understand. They argued in the 80s because Thatcher was trying to destroy the organisation that was attempting to make people who'd fought for their country come back to at least a way of living, a, you know, a style that they weren't coming back to unemployment, to poverty, to abject.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing with the 1945, the troops go to 1946 when they're demobbed, they come back, and that's why you have the housing,
absolutely,
bin, the brief.
Well, they give you your suit.
Exactly.
You get free clothing, you get a start in life, and you get the chance of a job. And every state-run industry, well, I believe, certainly the one I worked in, you know, the GPO, which was both postal and telecommunications, was at least 25% overstaffed. We all knew that. But when you listen to the guys who'd fought, you know, the guy who got me involved in politics was a really good mate of mine, and he went through the whole of the Second World War, all through North Africa, all through Italy. He was a commando trainer. He would never say anything about, you know, what happened in the war because it was so horrific, except for when we give him a few pints and then he'd come out with, you know, a few little stories. But you're looking at these people and say, well, when you come back, there's no job for you. Mm. So you go and sit. And they didn't remember there was no dole. There was no dole money. There was no unemployment. You went to the unemployment exchange and queued up like they used to queue up out along the walls of the docks.
Yeah.
And then the dock gang foreman used to come along and select the gang for the day. And if you was in with the gang leader, you got a job. If you weren't, well, you didn't earn money. And so it goes on. And also the problem we have, the people... I'm not saying this is all about the Tories.
Right.
Labour were in power for long enough that they could have fundamentally changed what was going on in the NHS. But the one thing that was found, you know, and I did it both working for the Labour Party and as a trade union paid organiser, paid official, is that the NHS is, it's not just a big industry, it's a monolithic industry. It's the biggest industry. They separate it out into little bits. But if they don't run it as a national organisation, the first accusation which comes up now is that you're into a postcode lottery as to what medication and what, you know, treatment and what care you can get. And I see what's happening now. I mean, I happen to know because my mum's in the middle of it. They said they was going to pile money in and they were going to sort out care. And they're not doing any of that. So my mum ends up in a home that's not a care home and it's not suitable for her particular circumstances, but it's the only place they can get her, outside of a hospital bed.
And it's Life of the Lines. We go. Morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Well, morning. Hi, it's John from Los Boliches.
Good morning to you, John.
Morning to you, Mitty. Just a couple of things, actually. This one, I think, is quite amusing. In 2003, a young lawyer took on the Labour government then and won. And do you remember Nathan?
Yeah,
remember Nathan used to be the American guy on...
Yeah, Nathan, of course I remember Nathan. Of course he was,
yeah,
he was on this...
Well, yeah, great guy. He always said, and most of Europe is saying, and they're quite right in saying it, that the attraction for the immigrants is the very fact that they get full benefits. And that's this young lawyer in 2003 won against the Labour government that allowed all immigrants to get full benefits. And do you know who that young lawyer was? Keir Starmer.
Right.
And we've been paying ever since for that, actually, unfortunately. And one other point I'd like to make, which nobody's picked up on, I picked up on it a few months ago, but nobody seems to be interested, is coming home to roost. As we know, we have a debt of $2.4 trillion, of which 25%, and this is what really shocked me, 25% was linked to inflation. Virtually all major governments have something linked to inflation, around about 2 or 3%. The UK has 25%, and that is costing, that's costing the UK, and I think the reason why the government can't do too much on movement, is you can see it month by month now, is costing us approximately $60 billion. That on that interest alone, which really is quite incredible that the Bailey hasn't had the sack, is quite beyond belief. And what I'd like to do, I'm putting out an FOI from another group. A few months ago, we did a huge deal with America for liquid natural gas. And I'm putting out an FOI to find out what price we paid for it, because although the natural gas price has dropped 80-90%, to the present level, the American price has fallen through the floor even further. It's down to 2019 prices. But the government don't seem to be able to do anything, because I think we're paying such a huge amount in this debt. It's $5-6 billion a month we're paying, which we really shouldn't be paying anything. And that's just the rant that I wanted to make.
Thank you.
Basically, I've given up on politics anyway, so I'm quite a relaxed guy.
Well, indeed, but, and you're in Los Belices, therefore.
No, you haven't given up on politics either, John, because you've just made a real big, two big political statements. So you haven't given up on politics. You just don't
like
the politicians.
That's economics.
No, but it's political. There's no decision on this planet that isn't affected by politics. It's a political decision that you either agree with or disagree with, and it's the people making the decisions. Yes, but it's the people who are making the decisions that you disagree with. It's not politics. People get this misunderstanding. Nothing in your life hasn't got the hand of politics on it. Nothing. Not even the air you breathe. Nothing. Everything is political.
What I'm really saying is out in the financial world, the Bank of England guy, if he worked for any of the big guys in business, and my old company was the leading trader in gilt edge securities on the stock exchange, if anybody had done that in those companies, they'd have had the sack. This guy Bailey seems to have swerved it. He was useless with the FCA, and this is absolutely a colossal error, which has costing us $60 billion a year, which is colossal sum, but nobody's really picked up on it. I know Richard Tice did.
And Richard has, and other people have. But again, we're into this realm of, you know, the people who ring up and say, why don't we talk about climate change? And I have to say, it's called, as ordinary folk, with the best will in the world, unless you do what Kate says, you use your vote and make it count, there's little or nothing we can do or say that influences these people or what they do. I mean, all right, there's simple things, all right? So we've got this massive debt. How do we pay the debt off? Well, I'll tell you what we do. We'll stop giving money to Ukraine. We'll stop giving money to Third World Aid. We'll stop giving, you know, all the things that all the right-wingers say, we shouldn't be doing this, because we can save the money, we can pay off the debts, and the British people are a lovely jubbly because they're not paying all this money in interest rates or whatever it is that they're doing. But that's not the way that social life works for British people. And I don't say British.
I must admit, Alf, what I can never understand, and it doesn't really bother me that much, I'm too bloody old to worry about it, but the logic in us importing liquid natural gas from Qatar and the huge deal we've done in America doesn't make sense, because with all the environment that entails switching into liquid natural gas and taking out of natural gas is very environmental unfriendly. Yep, we refer to import our coal, which is bloody well from filthy coal that we get. We import our gas, we import our oil. Yet the logic is we could do it in a much greener way if we still mined for the oil and the gas that we have in our sea and on the ground. I mean, there's no logic. If you're green, it doesn't make any logical sense to me that you're importing it from somebody else who imports it in a much more filthy way for the environment. But then, you know, it doesn't really bother me any much. anymore, to be honest with you.
Of course it does, John. That's why you're on the phone. Of course it bothers you. And you hope that somebody out there listens, and you know, eventually you hope to change people's minds. And yes, it's very frustrating. Listen, I've been involved in politics since I was a young...
I did find it amusing that 20 years ago, this young lawyer won the case, and immigrants now, as Europe complains and America and Nathan used to complain, that we are the reason why the immigrants are attracted, coming over from the Mediterranean, going through Italy, going through Greece, going through Spain, going through France to get to us.
That's a small amount.
It's our own fault.
That's such a small amount. You know, they used to moan about people who were benefit scroungers, and you do the figures and you go, you know, less than 1% of the population were ever benefit scroungers. But it always made the headlines.
I understand that.
Right. So the
similar
thing you're talking about
now.
Immigration.
It's not so much that. It's the way we lock them up now.
Yeah,
the
but
cost is $5-6 billion. You know, it's horrific at the moment because we kept them locked up.
And 70% of them end up being... And nobody, no immigrant, in terms of that you're talking about, no immigrant turns up in the UK and gets all the benefits. That is not a true statement. You have to be...
No, they don't get all the benefits, but they get reasonable benefits, housing...
No, and, not true. Not true. Never true. This is the nonsense. This is the
when
Tory.
When I say they get housing, they get some sort of housing and looked after.
Well, of course, they get put. They're not going to put them in tents on Wanstead flats.
No, absolutely.
Right. So they're going to give them something, but it's temporary whilst they're claiming nationality.
I tell you what, I live in. Turns out to be years.
You live in Spain. I live in Spain. I'm not entitled to go back to the UK and get National Health Service cover. Right, because
I
don't.
I live in Islington. I'm only here 6 months a year.
I know you do, but then you go, I'm John from Los Belices. So I go,
I'm here in Los Belices. Yeah.
And the bongos mean that we're going to have to leave
No problem.
We'll look for half of the
We won't come back to that.
Thanks for the call. National International News up next, and then back for more Viewpoints.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Welcome back to second half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, joined in the studio by Alf Brewer. Unfortunately, my second guest is unable to make it today. Looks like we'll try and get her on at a future date. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's to the socials and the WhatsApps we go. +34 645 99 67 95. Hi, Giles team. Problem: accumulation of half a shoestring jam tomorrow. Funding in the septic aisle. Blue rinse Starmer won't fix it either. This is from David Kettering. Privatisation equals public spending cuts. The only reason the welfare state was created in 1945 was because there was a competing system called socialism around the world with potential followers inside this country. Probably communism, David, because I think if Labour government, of course, following the Second World War, I think. Anyway, let me know. I'm sure I'll get shot down in flames for that one. Meanwhile, yes, Alf. Good morning, Richard again. Yes, Alf. But it's a monolithic industry that runs like treacle and doesn't abuse its size by obtaining drugs, products, and services at a discount. It does not exploit very well its economies of scale. Irish passport mentioned. That's down to the Treasury, not the Bank of England, John. The UK debt has not risen because of inflation directly. It's because interest rates have risen to control inflation that the interest on the debt has risen, not inflation directly. The electorate has the power. The problem is that many didn't vote in their interest, or worse still, don't vote at all. Always vote, and always vote for the least worst Looking at Johnny is part of the Metropolitan Elite. Excuse me, lives in Islington. Pensions. British pensioners are only entitled to £6,000 a year in benefits, while illegal immigrants and refugees are entitled to £29,900 a year. These figures aren't right. Pensioners who have paid national insurance contributions through their working lives are entitled to much more than £6,000 a year. Illegal immigrants are not entitled to any benefits, although asylum seekers do get limited financial support. Refugees are entitled to benefits on the same basis as UK nationals, but are unlikely to get £29,900 due to the benefit cap. So that is illegal immigrants are not entitled to more benefits than pensioners. You got any thoughts on that or any other method, anything else we're crossing today or anything that's crossing your viewpoint, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Looking at some of the stuff coming in. So Richard Branson's Virgin and Healthcare Group has not paid a penny in corporation tax whilst being handed £2 billion worth of NHS and local authority deals. That's coming in via the Mirror today. Junior doctors having to strike for a few pounds more while Branson rakes it in. Legal theft, that's really all it is. But yeah, let's hear more about how teachers and doctors are the greedy ones. Meanwhile, other bits and pieces that are coming through. Hancock was caught on camera saying he wanted £1,500 an hour. Junior doctors on average earn £19 an hour and regularly save lives. So that's one point coming in, and there's going to be more and more on that through the day. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. Howard, the news are telling us that the NHS will collapse if junior doctors go on strike. If junior doctors are that indispensable, then it is clear their pay demands are fair. Expecting a junior doctor to work for £14.09 an hour is an insult to the years and costs they spent training. That is more coming in. Like to hear from you on that one. Hillary Jones, Dr. Hillary Jones, has claimed that people are going to die as a report of strike action today. Interesting. If you want to get involved with the show, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Back with more after this, I think. Yeah. On GB, not GQ, we discover what it's really like to hang out with some of the world's most famous musicians.
There was this lovely-looking fella sitting on a flight case, and with a very friendly voice, he went, "Watch up!" That was Mr. Bowie himself.
It's GB, not GQ.
Seeing Tina Turner, as you say, a force of nature. Simply the best female entertainer even then.
Find out this and more from 4 o'clock every Friday with It's GB, not GQ.
I came off the stage, and as I walked past Lemmy, he said to me, "When do you get to play the good one then?"
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, we're going to move away from.
Sunak's for Brexit.
Don't say the B word. We're only at 14 minutes past. Right then, 952-78-4000. Moving on from. Sorry, turn your mic down. Moving on from the junior doctor strike, the NHS. Let's look at some more bits and pieces crossing the radar today. There's been outcry in some of the papers about the Labour Party advertisement saying that Rishi Sunak did not want to put sex offenders in prison.
etc., etc., etc. Loud outcry, people saying it's below the belt. And then one Labour insider said, apparently was quoted yesterday saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet. Never knew the Labour Party was such fans of the Backman Turner overdrive." Not off. if you know, you're smashy and nicey.
Good morning, Eamon.
Yeah. Anyway, so this advert that appeared in the week seemed to, I mean, it had the Conservative Party, sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, had the Conservative Party accusing Labour of using dirty tricks below the belt, etc.
Dirty. As if they've never done anything like this. This under Starmer, this started with Boris Johnson saying that Starmer was in charge of the, well, it was CPO or whatever it was.
Crown Prosecution Service, wasn't it?
Crown Prosecution Service. Whatever
CPS
one it was.
CPS or public.
Whatever one it was that puts people in prison.
Crown Prosecution Service.
Yeah. And he didn't put Savile in prison. And it's like, everybody's sitting there going, what's that all about? It wasn't even anything to do with it. I don't even think Starmer was part of that setup. But nevertheless, it starts with the nonsense that Johnson starts. But they never retracted from it, and they add insult to injury. So they carry on doing it. So all the time, the Tories are saying things about, you know, Starmer doesn't want this, and Starmer... They've got to attack him in no different way than what Labour look like they're now doing with Sunak. And that's called... Labour have still got the date. I've got the papers here. We're still going to suffer from Jeremy Corbyn at the next general election. There's still going to be a bunch of people. It won't be about anything other than two things it'll be. Why haven't you got rid of Jeremy Corbyn out of the Labour Party? And why aren't you letting him stand for Parliament if he's still a member of the Labour Party? So it's a twofold thing. Effectively, what the Labour Party have done is put Corbyn behind the eight ball when they're saying, we're not going to...
They've put Corbyn behind the eight ball?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a great saying, but what does that mean? Sorry.
It means it's called Corbyn's now got a choice because he's been told that he can't stand, so his option is to stand as an independent like Livingston did.
Yeah.
Right, the first thing that the Labour Party will do will be to eject him from the Labour Party. End of story. So Corbyn's got a choice. So he's behind the eight ball. He either stands as an independent and carries on being an MP that he has been for, you know, hundreds of years. 1992 was he, I think.
That's right.
Whatever. A long time he's been the MP. And he was involved in politics, obviously, before that, GLC, part of the Night of the Long Knives when we won the local elections. And then they got rid of the leader when we took over the GLC for the first time.
Yeah.
So they've got a problem with that. So they've solved that. They've put Corbyn behind the eight ball. Either you don't stand and you don't carry on and you're not representing the Labour Party anymore, and we're not going to have you as a spokesman in Parliament and all of that. And the second fold is Starmer, because that's a Labour Party trait. Starmer as the leader, he's told you've got to deal with Corbyn. So they're going to say, Starmer's dealt with Corbyn, he's not going to be allowed to stand. It was him at the NEC who moved the resolution. 22 out of the, whatever it was, 34 voted for that not to happen, so Corbyn can't stand. So he's dealt with the Corbyn bit of it. His popularity as an individual, I'm not comparing him with Sunak, his popularity compared to the Labour Party means that his standing in the Labour Party is higher than the Labour Party. So he's more popular to voters than the Labour Party is. And the same applies, or the same is applying, in the Tory Party. Because Sunak, it's not that Sunak is becoming more popular than Starmer, it's because Sunak is now becoming popular. Because the first of the polls they did was amongst Tory party members. And mm-hmm. they had a big thing, you know, 70% of people love Sunak, blah, blah, blah. And it's called, yeah, amongst 300 million Tories. But if you're going to stop that, you've then got to make the same as what the Tories have been doing with Starmer. You've got to then make Sunak is the Tories. They are one and the same. Whatever the Tories do is Sunak's fault. And that's what these adverts, in my humble opinion, That's what they, it looks like they're intending to do. Right. So that Sunak can't lift himself and raise himself and become a Boris Johnson. You know, Boris Johnson is loved by the voting population. They voted for him. It happens that, you know, John Green down the road, who just happens to be a Tory party candidate, gets elected as well. But it's on the back of Boris Johnson's popularity. So if Sunak becomes that popular, he drags the Tories. Someone's just dropped something behind me.
No,
and it wasn't me.
that will be the half-time snag. Yeah. The prawn sandwich is arriving.
So what we've got is that's the scenario as I see it. And right. if you go back to any general election, about 2 years before, we happen to have the local elections now, but about 2 years, we won't argue whether it's going to be the end of 24 or the beginning of 25. And by the way, the people who can vote, that doesn't apply until January of next year, but then everybody beyond 15 years can reapply to get a vote. But about 2 years before a general election, you'll start seeing all of the election cycle being, all of the machinery for all the parties being ramped up. Labour have just launched their five different areas that they can, and they won't vary from that. They're not going to try not to be pulled away by the Tories or the Liberals or the SNP, worse than that. That's going to try not to be pulled off of, here's our five, not pledges this time, here's our five platforms that we're going to argue. The Tories are going to have theirs. Sunak is laying it out. So what, you know, half the intention as well with the ads is to deflect the Tories from what they want to talk about into areas that they're not comfortable with and deflect them from their election campaign.
That's all well and good, but the problem that you have on this one is the fact that we've had, you know, Rishi Sunak. Do you believe that, you know, adults convicted of sexually abusing children, and then Rishi Sunak doesn't, okay? And today's one's come out about the non-dom situation with his wife. Okay, these are personal attacks.
Yeah.
And if you and I have got political memories, and do you remember the absolute outcry about Tony Blair Devil Eyes adverts?
Yeah,
you remember that? The Conservatives did that.
Didn't stop them doing it. Didn't
stop doing it. But what I'm saying,
and it had an effect.
Yeah.
It had an effect. It was the election campaign.
Yeah,
and it had an effect. It didn't stop Blair getting elected. But it narrowed the majority, and it had a major effect when you were knocking on doors, because you're voting for the devil.
Are we not going?
No, all politics comes down to when people go and vote in a general election, they're not voting for the local candidate. I ran local candidates. It's called give me an orange. I stick a Labour sticker on it, and I can get it elected. Don't have to have no. We used to try and
keep very carefully because we're going down the letters route on that one. If you're not careful, we know how to the letters.
Oh, absolutely. But it's true. You see, the one thing that we had is if you had a poor candidate or a weak candidate or someone who was controversial, the last thing you wanted them doing was going and talking to people on the doors. So you kept them away from that. You kept them away from, you know, live interviews. In 97, 96, 97, we had Sean Lay. Sean Lay was a young BBC reporter. It's Sean Lay who's on BBC now as a newsreader.
Yeah.
He was the junior reporter, and he was allocated, obviously, from BBC South East. He was allocated the marginals, of which I worked in Eltham. Eltham was the 52nd most marginal. We had to win 54 seats for power, so Eltham became, you know, very prime. And he spent a lot of time. I learned a lot of things from Sean and chatting to him. A wonderful young man, I'll put it no weaker than that. He's really good to be around. He wasn't a Labour supporter. But what was happening throughout all of that is you're building a momentum, and it becomes very personal. He wasn't at Eltham to talk to Clive Efford, our candidate. In fact, I don't even think he ever interviewed him, not even once. He was there to look at Blair's campaign to win the general election. All he was interested in, I mean, Tom Sawyer lived across the road from the party office, so he'd often pop in. He never talked to him once. He probably never even knew who he was at the time. He was only the Deputy General Secretary of Unison, soon to become General Secretary of the Labour Party. But he never talked to him once. He was only interested in Tony Blair, Labour leaders, election campaign. That was it. And that's the same in any, you go to any constituency at any time, you know, Boris Johnson, you know, 90, whatever it was, he's done a wonderful job. People elected the Tories on the back of Johnson. People elected the Tories nearly on the back of Cameron.
What? The thing is, Alf, right, here we go, stand back.
Sorry, they're going to personalise.
No, I'm not going to personalise. I'm just thinking...
No, they are.
They are going to put, but they shouldn't have to, because there's so much that you could bring up. If you're in opposition, it should be... An advertising campaign should be relatively easy to do, especially as we sit here looking at, you know, as the UK government looks across the smoking rubble that is currently the situation there. There are a million and one things that you can pick on. You look at the situation with queues at Dover, cost of living crisis, can't get a decent tomato, the price of Merlot going up, quote unquote, and you know, I'm going to drop the B word in Brexit, which could cause a massive problem in the UK. And yet, yep. And yet, they're going after, and it's pure aware. And what it does is it deflects. It's going to be, you know, it's going to shoot them in the bleeding foot, because it's going to deflect. Because it's going to be about personalities. And Rishi Sunak, yep. And yes, it will, because Rishi Sunak will.
Nobody in Chelmsford is interested in any of those things. Nobody in Colchester is interested in any of them things. Nobody in Northampton is interested in any of those things.
952-78-4000. You're in Colchester or Northampton, let me know. But no, but
individually, they will have a small amount. When you're looking at elections, it's all about percentages. So you take out your safe Tory seats, because it really doesn't matter what you say to any of them, they're going to vote Tory. You take out your safer than safe Labour seats, it doesn't matter what you say to them, because they're always going to return. And then you're looking at this bit in the middle, which are technically termed the marginal seats. It wasn't true last time, because Johnson turned red wall seats, safe Labour seats, years of safe Labour, turned them into marginal seats, and then the Tories attacked them and won them. So, you know, how do you recover from that? How do you retrieve from that? So it will be about issues that affect them, not about, you know... And to be honest, the asylum centre that I worked alongside and worked with the people who worked in there, because I covered them as a union official, was in Cambridge. It's a huge, great ex-army barracks. Nobody ever mentioned it. There was hundreds of asylum seekers, and I mean hundreds, probably 400 or 500 in this blocks of barracks that they, whilst they were being processed, but nobody in the surrounding area gave a toss about them, because they all knew that they weren't going to be staying there after they become nationalised or British citizens or allowed into the country. None of them were going to be living in Cambridge or around Cambridge, too expensive for one thing. Secondly, most of them had some tentative arrangements with, you know, additional extended family. So they were really planning to go further north, further west, further east, to the northeast, Scotland. Yeah, they were already planning when they left the centre. So the people that it affected, you couldn't run a campaign on, you've got this, you know, asylum seeker centre in your bit. The problem that the Tories have got, they're now realising, is that they've got so many asylum seekers unprocessed who are now living in loads of constituencies. And every one of those constituencies, the Tory MPs in particular, have to highlight...
Which is why they're putting on barges in Weymouth.
Yeah, OK, but that... Yeah.
And that's not a problem, because, you know, I'll tell you what, it's not, going to probably death charge it or something.
Well, it's also... 200 asylum seekers being put on a... They call it a barge.
500. Have you seen
it? It's a floating hotel.
It makes it sound like something you'd find empty,
yeah,
down, doesn't it?
You know, yeah, it's not. It's a floating hotel, and they should get it... But they don't want...
They've got coffee. Oh, blimey, they've got coffee on it, according to Daily Mail. Oh, and coffee and sharing facilities.
I'll tell you, I bet they've got television in their own language as well, because they have the magic boxes that they're not supposed to have in the UK, like we've got over here. You talk to the process of how they're dealing with it. So they've got all these. What that's not going to do, they can put 20 of those barges, whatever they call them, all round, dot them all round. You're still going to have the Tory MP complaining that one of the hotels in their constituency has got asylum seekers, and then they'll generate the problems, because as soon as they highlight that, you'll get a crowd of right-wing nutters in the main who will go and stand outside that hotel and then abuse the people as they come and go.
Yeah, it's like the
which
same
creates
people,
an
same
issue.
People who threw sort of bricks at a paediatrician's back in the day because they couldn't work out it wasn't a paedophile.
Absolutely. So then what you've got is you've got the local Tory MP. I'll carry on saying it.
All right.
The local Tory MP highlights this. In order to do what? In order to get their own party, their own government, to take these asylum seekers out of their constituency and put them somewhere else.
952-784-1000 is the phone number. It's to the WhatsApps we go there. +34 645 1997 95. Looking at these. Morning, Giles. As soon as 95% of the UK voters realise they're not wealthy enough to benefit from current Tory policies, they can vote for someone else who could ban offshore tax avoidance, increase capital gains tax from 20 to 50% for people earning more than £100,000 per year. That extra taxation would go a long way to properly funding the NHS. Meanwhile, Andy and Fuengirola, good morning to you. Some of your callers seem very keen to quote about economic facts that they've researched. It's a shame that those same people don't do their research on what immigrants are actually entitled to in the way of benefits. Instead, they quote absurd figures they probably see mentioned on the right-wing press, GB News, or social media posts. Thank you. Sharp as marbles. Thank you. Meanwhile, yes, thank you for sending the smashy and nicey GIF, whatever you call it anyway. Next general election, overall majority, Labour majority 4-5, Hung 15-8, Conservative majority 15-2. Corbyn will be independent and win. Southwest Norfolk has got the predictions for Southwest Norfolk. It's got the Right Honourable Elizabeth Truss MP as basically walking in on that one. So that's an interesting one as well. Meanwhile, let's have a look at... I haven't lost all my things. Here we go. People and Alpha's laid an egg. Get the butter soldiers ready. Some of you people. That's because people in Chelford and Colchester are morons. Thank you. Local Tory MPs. Meanwhile, they... I know.
They're not morons.
They're
just the people of Britain. Name any city, any town, any village.
Meanwhile, Tory party accuses Labour of attack ads when they use the same. Sunak is the tech thing. So Sunak is leading the Tory polls, so it's an obvious target. If you remember the JFC, the totally spineless chicken advert they had with Corbyn. And also, this is from Paul, by the way. Good morning to you, Paul. Local Tory MPs are now pretending to be Greens, anything but Tories, and have removed the word Conservative from the bios. As at the 3rd of April, 70% of Tory MPs had removed Conservative from their social media profiles. If you look at the Making Difference in South Cambridgeshire from Anthony Brown with an E, Member of Parliament for South, nothing about the Conservative. In fact, the whole thing is green. So it is a bit of greenwashing. And then also you've got that one on Chloe Smith, MP, Norwich North. Interesting, Mr. Bond. Eh? What do you mean, no?
No, it's they're missing the point. They're running those adverts because of the local elections. They're not running those adverts for the national elections. And when
but
it comes,
they still have concerns.
No, when it comes to the national elections, they have no say in what goes into their leaflets and pamphlets. None whatsoever.
Right, okay.
They're told by the National Party, here's the line, here's the words, get the photos, put them in this box. That's what will happen. And that's not just, you know, that's not just the Labour Party. That's all of the national parties will all run the same thing. We used to use an organisation, I think they might still be around. There are many other printers, but HH Associates, and they did the printing for everybody in London, but it was all based on what Labour Party head office sent out. So they would send me the outline, and I would fill in the local words and the local pictures, and then the leaflet would be issued. And everything that we issued had to be cleared by central office. So we were never allowed to send any leaflet out at all. So these Tory people, they're MPs, I presume, in those leaflets.
Yeah.
But they're actually running those leaflets based on the local elections. And for local elections, you can get away with, oh, well, this is a local issue, so we're arguing about a local issue. So they can get away with pretending to be green or whatever because it may be the issue in their constituency.
And it's the lines we go. 952-784-1000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, morning, Giles. It's Gary. I had to pull over in the car because I was laughing so much.
Okay.
People's making Starmer out to be a paragon of virtue. He was crap in the CPS, so I suggest some people do their research to see how he led the CPS and the disaster it turned out to be and continues to be, all because of him. Secondly, I wish people I call them DPs, displaced persons, because they're not all asylum seekers, they're not all immigrants, and they're not all on the run, and they're not all criminals, and they're not all nasty people, they're not all nice people. So I wish people would actually say what they are, but we don't know what they are. And thirdly, I'll just give up, really. I think that's just it. It's just, when you got the likes of Keir Starmer saying 99% of women do not have a penis, then what does the Conservative Party have to do? If the Tories are so bad, why is it people continually keep voting for them? Because people are selfish. They don't want idiots in powers, and the Tories, and by no way, shape, or form am I a Tory, contrary to what some people might think, they keep voting them in because they're the best of a terrible, bad bunch. That's the only reason. And people are selfish. They don't care about this, that, and the other. They just want 3 meals a day, a roof over their head, and something good for their kids, better than what they had. End of rant. Shut up.
Thanks for that, Gary.
I'd like to know where the stuff... please, Gary, send us in your sources for this. Starmer said 99% of women ain't got a pay. Where does that come from? Do you read the Morning Star or Daily Star or whatever it is? What's his name? Somebody at my... What was it? Freddie Starr, wasn't it?
Freddie Starr, my hamster.
Come on, behave yourself. And you're the only person I know put the name of where they were born in their name because you forget where you come from. Pompey Gary, I don't call myself London Alf or Cockney Alf or anything because Gary, you're a person.
He's proud of where he comes from, that's why.
That's not nothing to do. Well, why don't he call himself Brit Gary or England Gary?
Pompey's got that sort of ring to it. Life's the lines we go before you start dissing. Oh, you see, the fans have gone completely mad now. 952-78-4000. Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning. Just a quickie. He's talking about the last caller whose name I've...
Gary from
Gary.
Pompey.
Pompous. What people want is to vote for selfish reasons. What I'm saying is that if they really thought it through, they would realise that the best way of getting a full three meals a day and a whole lot of other things in this world of wood food banks. And that is the really disgusting thing. A large number of nurses were reduced to food banks.
Yeah.
Teachers are paying out for kids.
To have meals, etc.
Meals, yeah.
Got another caller on the line, Kate, if I may take this on the caller. Thank you so much. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Sharon again, guys.
Morning, Sharon.
Hello. Just to say that I don't know why Gary hasn't sussed out the populace that vote Tory. They are influenced, sadly, fickle people who are influenced by the right-wing press, who are pretty powerful in the UK. And they keep falling for the lies and the deception with promises of greater things, which, as far as I haven't seen Starmer do that yet, he hasn't been making great promises and stuff. So they're just fickle. They're like the people who voted Leave and then looked at what is the European Union and the next day. They don't seem to want to learn details of the situation. So that I think naive and fickle is probably two adjectives I'd use for the people who vote consistently vote Tory. Thank you.
Thank you very much. To the lines we go again. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, have I got a right reply here, Giles? First of all, let me educate Alf.
Oh, okay.
When I had my own show, they nicknamed me Pompey Gary. That's why I was called Pompey Gary long time before you come over here. Now, I would have liked to have been on this show but as seeing that I was banned, censors, etc., I've no right of reply. So let's just educate him, mate. You literally knew. You've come on here, you're pushing your own agenda. There's a lot of people that don't phone in anymore, and I'm not going to take lessons from someone that don't know their geography and is an outright liar and libelous slander. Okay, end of story.
Group hug, everybody. 952-78-4000. Take a short break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And welcome back to Viewpoint. Time is 17 minutes left in today's Viewpoint. Right then, two. If you want to get involved and make your viewpoint clear, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers to the lights, not to the lines, to the WhatsApps we go. Julie, Labour are spending way too much time trying to woo the Red Wall and neglecting those hovering between Labour and Liberal by promoting their absurd view on Brexit, make Brexit work, etc. Meanwhile, Paul, Alf is correct. The leaflet format is from Conservative CCHQ, and so is removing the word Conservative. Apparently, there's been a lot of discontent on constituency doorsteps. Meanwhile, hi, Giles. 20 years ago, at Yarlswood Immigration Centre in Bedfordshire, the place was burnt to the ground due to detainees having disputes. The UK is overloaded with too many who need help. What more can they do? It's about the time the UK stopped taking endless problems on and concentrated on the 70 million already there and get more staff back to help. It really is too late. So cheers from Max. Oh, and by the way, Gary knows what is what, definitely. Okay. Well, another one saying, well, Pompey Gary got our bed on the wrong side today. Meanwhile, another one comes in saying, thank you, Al. Thanks, Al, for your informed views. My hero, from John Carrington. And finally, if he's banned, why was he just on? 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official.
Actually, I'd like to go back to just a little bit of sense stuff.
I'd like to go back to the 80s.
No. I was too young then.
There are not 70 million.
Andy from Fuengirola rang in with a point. And plus what others always say about the immigrants, what the immigrants are there and they're doing this and they're doing that and what they're entitled to, very little of which is true. I said it earlier on, you know, no immigrant to the United Kingdom is entitled to housing or to education or to the health service or to any other benefit.
Oh, yeah, but they're making no-go areas as well, you know that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the lake by the side of the bulge, isn't it? Oh, whatever. Because they sick. No, it's just on a... Yeah, really serious point.
Yeah.
And lots of people have said it before. You know, even Gary was, you know, oh, it's all Starmer this and Starmer that. It doesn't matter which political party you follow. It doesn't matter whether you're not a party follower, but you're just interested in politics. It doesn't matter about any of that. What people vote, and it's not about they're all selfish. Every single person who votes in every single election is being selfish because they're voting for what they believe in. It may be that they're voting for a message on the side of a bus that, you know, loads of people say is wrong. It may be that they're voting because they think the Tories are going to stop immigration. It may be because Labour say they're going to renationalise the railways. It may be whatever issue there is. And it's very rarely is it one single issue, which is why I was having the conversation earlier, Giles, about the leader of the party has a major influence on what happens in every constituency. If you've got the wrong leader at the moment, you know, and I've said it for a long time, you know, the problem with Starmer is he's too precise, he's too rigid. He looks like he's got no charisma. They're trying to come out of it now, but it'll take a long time. You can't have charisma ain't something that you inject into somebody, and you can't train somebody to have charisma. You've either got it or you haven't got it. And the one thing that they couldn't stand, the one thing the Tories couldn't stand from about 92 onwards,
yeah,
was when Blair came on the scene. Well, it wasn't. It was John Smith at first. They struggled with John Smith being the leader. And then when Blair and Brown come on the scene, well, they totally collapsed. And you've never seen so many Tory MPs running for safe seats.
Yeah.
You know, because they just didn't believe in their own leader. Which was... whoever it was.
Yeah. But message in from Richard, we don't need entertainers. We need doers as our politicians. We don't need... It's not... I mean, this is my gripe. This is one of the gripes that you have. That you could argue that we've always had entertainers. You know, Reagan, entertainer, President of the United States. You know, whereas...
Every one of them. It's called charisma. They have to put on an act. It doesn't matter who it is. The woman who's the MP for the Greens is well known, not because she's the only Green, because she's got charisma. And she, when she says things in Parliament, people listen to her. When you know, it's when Nicola Sturgeon is the leader of the SNP, she had a major influence. The new guy comes along, and all they're going to do is slag him off. That's for certain, especially Labour, because they're the seats that Labour have got to win back. So it's not just red wall seats that they're attacking. And Labour are not spending, believe me, they're not spending loads of times on red wall seats. Those red wall seats, this is what we call give-up seats. They were safe Labour. People switch their vote because their issues. Mainly it was all these immigrants are taking our jobs. It's the old right-wing slur. And lots of Labour people were not enamoured with Corbyn. So they ran away from Labour. They didn't run to the Tories. They didn't run to Liberals. They ran away from Labour, which leaves an opening for other parties to fill the vacuum, which is what the Tories did very, very successfully. Now the same is going to happen in reverse, because those Tories, you might have a really good local MP and he may be a decent Tory.
Yeah.
But they're still a Tory, and they're still going to be measured by what Sunak does and what the Tory government does. They're not going to be measured by, oh, I got a local car park opened, or I got swings for the kids. Or very few MPs get elected because of their local circumstances. They get elected because of what the National Party are doing, even in local elections.
Going to take a break, and then we're into the final 10 minutes of Viewpoint.
Yeah. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And we're into the final 6 minutes of Viewpoint. If you want to get into the final 6 minutes, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, look, this coming in on studio@tre.radio, well, it actually came into info, but Vanessa, thank you for sending it on to me. Hi, Giles, this is from Clive Baldwin. Gary is absolutely correct. Starmer made the penile comment in an interview with Nick Ferrari on LBC within the last few weeks. So, there you go.
What was the background?
Oh, I don't know, do
it's
I?
It's like me saying I'll stick a Labour sticker on an orange and get it elected. It's not true. Well, nobody's ever done it.
Well, exactly. Send you an anchor. Morning. Live on TRE, what's your name? Vote Naranka, you know it makes sense. For a zesty future. See what I did there? Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Oh, he said Trump off air.
Put a Trump sticker on.
I thought we'd get through the whole show without saying Trump.
Put a Trump sticker on an orange. It looks the same.
No, anyway, Kate, please restore some levity.
What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costabanca.
Yes, Kate.
Quickie on a completely different subject. I've answered a mirror questionnaire, and do you think that child support should be limited to the first two only? And I wrote in saying not. And anyway, if the royal family can be supported, you know, on benefits, et cetera, et cetera. That comes, and I was delighted, and I'm looking for it now, and a rapid rapid rebuttal from the Crown. giving me the facts and et cetera of how the royal family is the best, the country is the best a net beneficiary, and, you know, they don't bleed the British people. Anyway, I won't delay it now.
Thank you. Kate, thank you very much for that and the other comments through the day. Good to have you with us. Right then, looking at this coming in. Okay, so Richard, thank you, the Oracle. Keir Starmer says 99.9% of women haven't got a penis. Well done. As he says, he faces questions over trans rights. The Labour list insisted that if his party won the next general election, there would be no rolling back of women's rights. So Keir Starmer has said that trans rights cannot override women's rights in an apparent change of tone as he tries to clarify his position. The Labour leader insisted that if his party won the next election, there would be no rolling back of women's rights. Keir's first criticism from feminist groups and Labour MP Rosie Duffield, who claimed the party had a woman problem. 2 years ago, he committed to introduce self-declaration for trans people. Party strategist last month told Sky News Keir would lose the general election campaign on day one unless he shifted his position on transgender rights. Advisors have been telling him, the Labour leader, since 2021 to deal with the issue and explain to voters that self-ID is not going to happen. His position appeared to evolve over the past months after Labour's MSPs were whipped to vote last year for the gender bill in Scotland that makes it easier for people to change gender. So there you go.
So, yeah, thank absolutely.
You. So, there you go, right there. And looking at some more bits.
It's not an issue that I'm very au fait with.
Right, okay. Clinton, Blair. This is not Clinton. This is Ian in Camberley. Clinton, Blair, Reagan, Thatcher, Hitler, Trump, and Johnson. They all had that charisma touch, good and bad. And it's what spurs voters on to vote for them. When did you hear of boring leader changing history? Good programs today, guys. Lively indeed, you could say that. But Paul and Crosby, Nick Ferrari was deliberately trying to provoke a red meat answer from Starmer. Well, he certainly got that all right. Anyway.
Wrong,
yeah.
So this is where we get it. This is, you know, no disrespect to Gary, but he hears it as 99% of women don't, well, whatever it was. It's quite the reverse of what actually was said. People will hear what they want to hear and they will vote on the basis of what they believe. And seriously, you know, you've just had on screen, I don't know what year that was, but probably about election year, of Boris Johnson not acting the fool, but putting his thumbs up and doing all those things. So it is an act, and they do put it on, and it is about, and you're quite right, you know, who was more charismatic than, yeah, Hitler, if you want to take the really,
yeah, I mean,
bad...
That's the orator and followers, that's charisma... But it's a warped charisma, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's charisma, Giles. It's not nice. It's not good charisma. It's not, oh, they're very, yeah, they're wonderful people because they've got
nice
charisma.
People will just hear you just said that and go, Alf said Hitler had charisma. And that, yeah. And like people will hear what they want to hear.
I detest of women. Almost everything that Winston Churchill did, but he still had charisma. It's no different. He was just as bad as Hitler in a different way because he was on the side of the good.
Why do you have to say
it? Because he was on the side. Because it's the last 5 minutes.
20 seconds more like.
Because it's the last 5 minutes.
Bring out my history. Put my history hat and off we go. Right, almost.
And if you want to see charisma, yeah, they're right. The British ambassador to the UK when Clinton was the prime minister, was the president, came to one of our union dues, and when he walked in the room, wow, you could feel him. When Blair walked in, you could feel him.
Apparently The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has the same appeal, but there you go. Right then, out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's show. My thanks. Thank you for such a lively viewpoint. My thanks to Alf, as always.
Thank you, John.
And this show will be repeated. Yes, it will. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans, meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.